Take your Bibles, we'll be in Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verses 1 through 3. We've been talking about this series, This is the Way, and we talked about the way of being Jesus Christ, the living word, and then the way is also the written word, and that he commands us, this is the way to walk in it. And today we're going to start looking at the fact of how do we live this out? How do we trust the way of Christ when we may not see everything? So we'll be looking, it'll be kind of interesting, in the next few weeks you'll see the reference that'll say Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, and you're like, why are we doing one verse every week? Because if you look at Hebrews, I think I've got it right, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, you've got about four or five people from the Bible that have fleshed out walking the way of faith. And so we're going to look at each one of them individually for them. Also, before I forget, we have two or three youth that are going to be baptized down at the creek right after the service. And if you're able to be a part of that, we'd love you to be a part of that to celebrate their new walk in Christ and their obedience. So that'll be afterwards. So, like I said, we talked about Christ. He's the living word. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And then we talked about that we need to follow the way. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then what we talked about last week, he said, this is the way. He commands us, walk in it. And so what does it take to follow Christ? Well, we know faith in what he's done, but let's talk about the fact that a lot of us have done that part. And we talk about I made Christ my Savior, but then the rest of the Great Commission is about making him our Lord and about following him, about having faith in him, about trusting him. And we struggle sometimes to walk in the way when we can't always see and we can't always understand. And we're like, you really want me to go there, God? You really want me to do this? And we can choose to walk by faith in whatever. And that's what's happening today. When we talk about faith, we talk about, I don't want to say blind trust, but a lot of times that. But everybody came here and sat on these pews and expected them to hold you up. You expected those fans not to drop in your face. Now you OCD people will be thinking about it. None of these ceiling tiles. You see what I'm saying? How much faith that you operate on every day, not even thinking about it. I'm going to trust that this was built right. I'm going to trust that this is working right. But yet, when the struggles of life, I'll put faith in my health. I'll put faith in my family. I'll put faith in, and these things are all okay, but we'll all fail each other, and they're all frail and fleeting. We have to choose every day what we're going to put as we follow the way of God. Am I going to put faith in my knowledge? Am I going to put faith in my past? Or am I going to put faith in Christ? And your action step today is walk in the way of faith. I would have added, I just forgot to, obviously faith in Christ. Because the problem is that a lot of people are putting faith in something, or a religion, or an experience. We need to have faith in Christ. Your points are going to spell out the word way, and we're going to talk about that. We walk in the way requires faith in the way Christ and understanding what faith is. Now, like I said, in the next few weeks we're going to unpackage this, but when we look at, and we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, and when we look at the book of Hebrews, we don't know who wrote it. Well, you said Paul wrote it. Well, I think Paul wrote it. But we really don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. So you're saying, well, why are we looking at it if we don't know who wrote it? Because the early Christians, this book was valid on what they believed, and through the canon of proving that it was true, they proved it as something to be a part of the Bible that we have today. Do I think Paul wrote it? Yeah, probably, but we really don't know. And it was built, it was written after Christ had risen from the dead, and before the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed, and it was mainly written to Jewish Christians. Yes, it applies to us, but we need to understand the context of the book that we're going to be kind of looking at in this chapter of faith, and the fact that these were Jews that, when we talked about this before, that started in the garden and went to Adam, and then the nation of Israel, and through the nation of Israel, the true Israel, those that received Christ. It was all to point to Christ. And so these are Jews that have been taught about the one true God and have come to saving faith in Christ. And this is who the author's writing to. And the theme is that Christ is greater and the way is greater, greater than whatever's going on in your life. And I encourage you to read in the next few weeks Hebrews chapter 11 over and over again, because it is a rich chapter. And when you're understanding, I'm talking about the whole book of Hebrews, Christ is greater than whatever you're dealing with. Christ is the way that is the best way. And the goal through this, and the goal that the author has, is to encourage Christians by faith to endure till the end. Sound pretty familiar on the things that we're dealing with? To encourage Christians that by faith in Christ and faith in His way, that we endure till the end. And so the goal is to encourage us also. In Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 3, and we'll unpackage it here in a minute, says this: Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, and the proof of what is not seen. For by this our ancestors were approved. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. When we walk in the way of faith, it leads us to conviction. And he uses the word conviction, it means proof, that we're convinced, that evidence, that we believe what Christ has done so much that we act on it. A lot of people have convictions, but I don't think not so much, because when you have a conviction, you stand and you act on that. And that's what he's saying. When you're walking in the way of faith, you're going to believe Christ so much that it's going to move you to act upon what he's commanded you to do. Romans 10:17 says this: So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. I want us to understand this. A lot of people, like the examples I used this morning, are having faith in different things. And it's not bad to have faith in some of those things, but we're in a sinful world and we'll all fail each other. And so what we need to understand here is true faith and true way is just like what I'm doing here today. I am pointing you to the way, the written word, and I'm pointing you to the way, the living word, which is Jesus Christ. And this is his plan, Christians, not just for you to hear somebody preach the word, but he calls you individually to live the way, to follow the command. He said, neither go left, if I tell you, that you will hear a voice behind you, which way to go. I mentioned last week a verse I use a lot, Psalms 25:4, show me the path where I should walk, O Lord. Lead me along the road I shall travel. And last week we talked about God's word, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that it's good for life, that we need to have a biblical worldview, and that we have no excuse, that whether it's me speaking or you reading the word, you are to listen to the word, you are to obey the word, and you're to pass the word on. And so we have to hear the word. We have to speak the word, we have to live the word, and we have to do the word, and it all leads to a deeper faith. Amen. James 1:22 says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I'm a Christian, I know why I'm a Baptist, and Baptists are big on grace, and I believe in grace, and I didn't grow up Baptist, I'm not against it. But you know what? You can go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, works don't save us, but we were designed for good works beforehand, Christ says. And so works don't save us, they don't keep us, but they're proof of us obeying the commands of God. Amen. And in a relationship with God. Godly faith is an assurance that leads to conviction of action. See what I'm saying? It says here in Hebrews chapter 1, it's like I believe Christ so much that I'm going to act on what he tells me to do. Does that happen all at once? Well, you should get to that point. That those times and the generational sin of worry runs in my family. And there are generational sins that are part of your families that you get used to. That when God says in his word, that's sin, you've got to make a choice. Am I going to live in this generational sin? Am or am I going to break that for my children and my grandchildren and obey that? And so let's go back to one that I deal with is worry. It's the fact when God's word tells me I'm sinning against him and saying I'm not trusting God when I worry, I need to shorten the amount of time I worry, and I need to pray to God and give it to him.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying here? Godly faith is the insurance that leads to conviction of action. God has told me in his word, I believe that Christ is enough. If he's told me not to do these things, not to worry, then when I worry, I'm sinning against God and I'm not acting and obeying his word. Just using that as an example. Walking in the way of faith means, here's your first fill-in, walking with assurance and conviction. In other words, you're assured who Christ is and that he's going to do it, and you have conviction enough to act upon that. And, you know, some of you, I did youth ministry for a while, and you go to these camps, and we went to Camp Siloam, which is a really good camp in Arkansas, and I was a little bit bigger back then, and it's like, so I didn't trust my youth for the trust fall, okay, or whatever. And boy, we had this wall. We had this wall, everyone was climbing, and we still got video. I think it's on WrestleMania, but you're never going to see it. I know Larry's trying to search the internet to find it, but that's in a secret encrypted thing. So anyway, but on the video, it's a video we did all our youth ministry, is that video. I mean, I was like 100 pounds heavier there. All the youth pushing me up that wall, you know. And it's like me wanting to trust a bunch of teenagers doing that, I wasn't there. But, you know, that's what faith is. It's like, okay, I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust they're going to catch me. I'm going to trust God that he saved me and he gave me his Holy Spirit. And so when he tells me to do something, it's all up to him to do it. I just need to obey. And so what do we gain by walking the way of faith? Hebrews 11, 2 says this, "For by this our ancestors were approved." I want to be really careful about this. We're saved by grace. But there's genuine faith, and there's a lot of false faith. You just have to be a little bit off to miss the kingdom of heaven. To have faith, this is why when somebody says they're a Christian or they believe in Jesus, you need to explore that more. Because is it the Jesus of the Bible? Is it the gospel of the Bible? Because we need to have faith in Christ and what he has done and what the Bible says. They, by walking the way of faith, were approved. That word approved means commended. It means it's a witness. It's a testimony. It's a quality. It means that they are certified that they are followers of the way of faith. Now, what we're seeing that was really cool, we didn't plan for this, but baptism today doesn't save you. But Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you also. And God calls us to make disciples and to be baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. That is a public way of saying, I am going to be identified with Christ. Then when I go under, I'm buried with Christ. And when I raise up, I'm raised to newness of life. And that is almost that certification. But let's talk about beyond baptism, because we've got a lot of people, I'm going to put quotes, that were baptized, but they never got saved. And it's not because I'm trying to be a judge on that. I've just met a few that have told me that. And what we need to understand, while baptism is a public sign of what has happened inwardly, everyday Christians, it's not about being good enough or staying good enough. We are talking by the grace of God and faith in God. We are approved, we are certified as genuine Christians. I love the fact, I'm not ashamed that I'm a pastor, or to say I'm a pastor, but when I meet people, I don't always lead with that, because I want them to get to know me first before their presuppositions come out. I love it once they get to know me, and then I tell them I'm a pastor, and they go, oh. One, because you're as weird as all get out, but also the fact you don't match what I think of a pastor and what I think of Christians. It's not because I'm perfect or doing anything better, but I go back to this approved. People need to see real followers of Christ that are real people. And so that's what that means. This certified their faith in Christ, that it was approved, that it was right, that it was a quality. And when we walk in the way of faith, here's your next fill-in. When you walk in the way of faith, it is an approved faith in Christ.
Again, I'm not going to really unpack this hugely today. But just because somebody says they're a Christian or they believe in Christ, guess what? The demons believe in Christ too. That's not going to do them any good. And just because they call themselves a Christian, we got to go to the God of the Bible, the Christ of the Bible. And we have to understand that. So, the proved faith, the certified faith. What can we learn from walking in the way of faith? Walking in the way of faith, we gain understanding. And when we understand, we become more more trusting and reliant on Christ. And as we understand, we reconsider and we repent and change and walk in the way. I'm going to go back on this. So when we have this approved faith and we're walking in the way, we gain understanding. See, here's the problem. A lot of us are like, and I saw this when I was in college and I gave my Bible degree. Some of those guys wanted to know how all this happened and how it all fit together. Where does faith fit in it? Because, yeah, there's a lot of stuff we can know. There's a lot of stuff we can understand. But then we have to also go by faith. And what I want you to understand, some of you, let's talk about trusting someone or something. You had to try it first and see if it was good. And then you had understanding. So if we do that with other things, like my Hey Dude crowd, they kept... half of you are wearing Hey Dudes, and you're yapping about Hey Dudes, and yes, I'm wearing Hey Dudes now. Okay? But I had to use some of my blood money to get my first pair of Hey Dudes. And I took them on my trip, you know, and I wore the crud out of them, and I'm still wearing them, but they're the kind of shoes you don't mind leaving them on even when you're at home. Okay? But I had to trust Happy You Yay Dudes about that, and I don't trust you that much. And they're expensive. And we won't get into that, okay? But now I can tell you, you can trust me or not, yeah, they're a good shoe. And they're on sale. It's a school weekend, no tax, so go for it, okay? But anyway, but we'll do that with stuff. Or somebody will tell us a product, and we'll maybe trust that person. Or we find a product that's made well. But when it comes to Christ, we trust Him to save us. But then when we're walking with Him, and He tells us in His Word to trust Him, suddenly, I got to wait until I understand that, God. Well, how many things? I'm a minister, have studied a little bit, been walking with God since I was age 5, saved, all that kind of stuff, Holy Spirit in me, and there's still a lot of stuff God says, go through that door, and then you'll understand. But you've all been there. You're obedient to the way, you didn't understand, and then you go through that door, and like the song says, we'll understand in the by and by. Some things we're not going to understand until we get to the other side. But one benefit that he's saying here is when you trust God, when you walk in the way of faith, you're trusting, you're not trusting the circumstances. You are trusting. This is why it's a personal relationship. This is why you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You are trusting Christ regardless of not knowing all the facts. And we all have people in our lives. We all have people in our lives that they can call us up and they can say, I need you to do this. And we just do it because we trust them. Very few, probably. But why is it with Christ? Really? To do what? I can just personally testify that He has blessed me and He's helped me to grow by going through those doors. And have I always gone through those doors? Oh, yes, I'll go through the door. No. It's been kicking and screaming or sometimes, but it's like I know He knows best. And so we gain understanding, and that causes us to trust God more. And when God says, look, if you let me have this part of your life and trust me with it, we have to turn from the direction we're going, repent, and turn to God. I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about our regular lives. Because when we're saved, it's like I mentioned before, that my heart cries home. Christ comes in, but you got to let Him into the rooms of your life. And He's a gentleman. And you've got to let Him, you've got to trust Him that, okay, God, He's saying, I can clean this up if you trust me, if you turn. And so that's how we walk in the faith. We understand. Verse 3 of Hebrews 11 says this: by faith we understand what the universe, that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that were not visible. You go on, so if we, this is how we understand that there's a creator. Man, there's all these theories, you know, and I believe in literal creation. If we can trust God, come on, let's get real. And the flood makes sense, and yes, I want to go to the ark too. I really want to go this year. I mean, not the real ark, because we have to go in Turkey, I think, maybe. Okay, but the ark display. But if we can sit there and believe that Jesus came to this earth, he died and rose from the dead, then why can't he create a whole world in 7 days? Amen. And the fact the flood makes sense. And so what we're saying is there's an intelligence to our creation, how we're physically made. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. There's an intelligence to everything out here. And so we're talking about the fact that this verse is talking about that we understand that the things we can't, that the things we can see were made by the things that we can't see. So if we understand that, we go to Hebrews 10, verses 22 and 23 says this. So if we've been saved, we're walking in faith, we're growing in understanding, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. Amen. We're trusting Christ. We're not trusting any. I did not trust myself on any day. I'm a man every day in need of a Savior. And so he says, draw near to God with a true heart. We were having this discussion on the mission trip. I don't know, maybe it was on the mission trip. I don't know, I've slept since then. But it's like, why do we sit there and try to hide anything from God? Get real with God. Let it out. He already knows. And so, because of what he's done, we can draw near to him with a true heart. And we can be fully assured in our walk of faith that if we've accepted Christ, we're clean, we're cleansed. He cleanses our conscience because of his blood. Now, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you receive Christ, you're as saved as you're ever going to be. But how close to Christ do you want to be all the time? And every day, walking close with Christ, when he shows you something that's between you and him, confess it, forsake it. Keep those short accounts. We can endure the walk of faith because Christ is faithful. Your last fill-in. Walking the way of faith yields true understanding and endurance. The only way I'm going to make it to the end is Christ. Because we have been assured that we can walk with conviction. We are approved. We understand. We can endure. And we can, according to Hebrews 10, verses 23 and 25, it leads to this. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So let's review what we've been doing here. We find the way, Jesus Christ, and find him as Savior. Then we begin to walk in the way, his written word, and we begin to obey the way by faith and trust. And then we continue to endure, and we have conviction, and we're assured. And so he brings it down to here, is that we need to hold fast to Christ. Everything else and everyone else is going to fail you. It doesn't mean you're not going to forgive them, you're not going to love them, but one way or another, we'll all fail each other. And hold fast, without wavering, to the one that is faithful. And the only way we cannot waver, look at who we're holding on to. Go to Peter when he was walking on the water. Why did he start sinking? He got his eyes off of Christ, and he listened to the wind, and he looked at the waves, and he began to sink. This is why I keep telling you, I learned Isaiah 26:3, he will keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on him. We need, our wavering is not us keeping Christ, us being focused on the one that can keep us, Christ. Because Christ is faithful, we can be faithful. Now let's get into provoking. Pastor said we can provoke each other. Some of you guys are good at that. And I can be good at it when I'm really tired. I can provoke people in the wrong ways. And it's kind of fun to watch people. Anyway, that we won't get into that. But then he wants us to provoke. It means to encourage that one another towards having more faith in Christ, towards obeying Christ more, to walking the way more. How well are we helping each other? I think we do a pretty good job. In the sense of when those that are down and they're struggling, I'm praying for you. How are you doing? In the fact of accountability, encourage one another. This is what I went through. Maybe you can avoid it. And then in those accountability groups, the fact of, hey man, what's going on there? Provoking, encouraging other to keep trusting the way of faith. And notice he says this, do it less. Let's just look at the dynamics of this. If we're to follow the way of Jesus Christ, and we're supposed to know the way, the written word, and then we're supposed to obey the way and have faith in sometimes things that we can't understand, why do you think we're meeting here today? Why do you think we have Sunday school? It's not about the Bible study, Sunday school, and what we meet. But I believe church is family. And you guys showed up for me and my family big time. And I appreciated that in the last few weeks. And I knew you would. In so many ways. But in other words, we live life together. Not just meetings and stuff like that. But that we encourage one another. These times are not getting better. And the Bible says it's going to wind down. And so, yeah, we can have some revival. That'd be great. But this is all supposed to wind down. So let's just get practical here. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir. But he's saying, if you're going to walk the way of faith, and you're going to be challenged more on, am I going to trust God in this because this is hard? Don't you think we need to meet together more? Don't you think we need to be in the Word more? And it's not about more scheduled meetings. It's about the body of Christ, the church of Christ. We need each other more, even as we see the day approaching. And I think God is stepping on the gas, okay, on that thing. So we need to walk the way of faith together. The choice is yours on what you will have faith in, and which way you will walk. But you will answer for the choice that you make. God's not going to make you do anything. He knows the choice you're going to make, all that, but you have heard. And so then you go to Hebrews 10:39. I have a time limitation here in a moment. It says this, but we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. You have two or three youth today that are testifying that they are those that have had faith in Christ and that they are saved. If you have not made that choice, we're going to have a time of invitation. I encourage you to do that.